You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on WI.5 FM. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. And we have been going through the Word of God, looking at the things that God wants to teach us about, instruction that He wants us to have. And today we're going to be in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 44. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 44. And we're just a broadcast or two away from getting into the New Testament side of things. But I wanted to take you here to Ezekiel 44 because I believe that the topic in that chapter is something we desperately need in America once again, and Brevard County could use a healthy dose of it as well. So I do want to say thank you for listening, but I also would like to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God, Wednesday night, 7 p.m. We have our Bible study, and we're just a couple of weeks away from concluding our Fire Bible Discipleship study that's been going on for nearly 2 years. We'll probably still revisit that. It'll probably just be in a slightly different format, different order, and things like that. There's some structural ways that I would like to go about that differently this time. It was a learning curve for us, for sure. And it was a lot of work writing those study guides, compiling the study guides. It was great for our people because, you know, they got involved in the process. And whenever you're teaching, you actually learn more than what your students do. So Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, we have a kids class for those that are basically in the range from, I would say, probably 5 to 12, something like that. We also have a young adults class that meets over next door. Those are youth that have had birthdays, and now they're more young adults. And then we have our adult Bible study, and we'd like to invite you out to that if you are available. So in our discipleship class, we have a range of teachers, and so I only right now, as we're wrapping up on the end, I'm teaching more of those than what I have frequently. We've kind of spread that out to where people only had to teach like every month or every 6 weeks or so. So love to have you come out and be a part of that. So Ezekiel chapter 44, verse number 23. And that verse says this: "And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the unholy, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. In controversy, they shall stand as judges and judge it according to my judgments. They shall keep my laws and my statutes and all my appointed meetings, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths." Now, I want to tell you that this instruction, the teachers of this particular topic, are disclosed in verse number 15. It says, "But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, who kept charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, They shall come near to me to minister to me, and they shall stand before me to offer me the fat and the blood, says the Lord God. In other words, the best qualified, those chosen by God to teach what other translations describe as the holy and the profane, this, the New King James Version, describes it as the holy and the unholy. The only people qualified to teach that are people who have stood in faithfulness to God, even in times when the entire society had turned away from God to idolatry. I was preaching a message here several weeks ago, and it was describing that that people had blasphemed God due to their unfaithfulness. Blaspheme means to speak evil of, and God had always wanted to treat his people for his namesake in a manner that would not only reach the Jewish people, but would impact the Gentiles as well and influence them and cause them to want to seek God. But God called out to the people of Israel, and he said, "You've blasphemed me due to unfaithfulness." Unfaithfulness is not an uncommon characteristic. We see marital unfaithfulness. We see unfaithfulness to jobs where people just don't show up. We see people who are unfaithful to their family. They're unfaithful to fulfill their financial obligations. There's a lot of things in life where unfaithfulness is on demonstration 24 hours a day. The place that should not take occurrence is in the house of God and with the people of God. God is faithful. One of the names is Jesus, is he who is faithful and true. And if we're going to be like Jesus, we need to be people of faithfulness. These priests, these Levites, the sons of Zadok, it said that they shall come near me to minister to me. A lot of what is taking place in society right now is geared towards a consumer mindset. It's what can we do to attract people to want to buy our product, frequent our stores. A lot of times people utilize that for churches. You know, what can we do to get more people to come to church? And when it comes to church, when it comes to their spiritual well-being, I'm not trying to attract them to me. They need to be attracted to God. And so these individuals that are being commended, that are being praised, and they're being instructed to teach the people the difference between the holy and the profane, they are people who stood in the sanctuary. They came near to God. They stood before him, and they ministered to him and before they were equipped to minister to the people. So before I came in today, I spent time in the Word, and I also spent time in the sanctuary, just ministering to God and saying, "God, you know, I don't need more things to do. So if we're going to do this, I pray that you will use me. How would you like to make this a meaningful lesson?" So when you're teaching, you know, in God's school, it is not just about information, but it is about the distinction between the life that God wants for you and the life that the world has to offer for you, which is always going to be a lower threshold of commitment, and it's going to have a delayed cost factor to it. A cost factor for God means that you're going to stand for Him, and it may cost you your popularity. Now, we are seeing in modern times where there are people who are raising the cost factor to ungodliness and unholiness, and that is, if you do not go along with their plans, they want to cancel you. They want to eliminate you from every aspect of life. And if you read the Bible, you will see that that is one of the things that the Antichrist puts into place, that if you do not receive the mark of the beast, that you are going to be banned from buying and selling and doing business. So, you know, thank God, I believe that He wants the church out of here before the wrath of God is poured out on society. So, you and I, we have to position ourselves where we are not teaching theoretical holiness, but we are teaching experiential holiness. Because if you're going to go into the house of God and you're going to minister to God, you're going to find there's no idol like Him. Idols are inanimate, and God is very animate. He's very much alive. Idols are incapable of helping, but God is your very present help in time of trouble. And you're going to find that God is absolutely perfect. He's never wrong. He's never morally compromised. He is the epitome of perfection in capabilities, in character, in love and compassion, and His judgment. So these people went in and experienced the presence of God. It says in verse number 16, and they shall enter my sanctuary, they shall come near my table to minister to me, and they shall keep my charge. So now we drop down to verse number 23, and we see there, and it says, and they shall teach my people. And then in my Bible, there's italics, which means that this word doesn't really appear in the original manuscripts, but that its meaning is implied there. Teach my people the difference between the holy and the unholy. Now, I want you to see, first of all, here in this passage, that this is a lesson for God's people. A lot of times we look at things and think, well, that's a message for those outside the church, when in reality, most of the scriptures were written for people that God was walking in covenant with. They were letters to churches in the New Testament. They were letters to the people of Israel. So there is a sad reality when we have to teach people who for generations should have known that God is holy. The scripture says, be ye holy as I am holy, says the Lord. So if you hear people teaching the love of God and they don't ever mention the holiness of God, there's a flawed dynamic there. We have a tendency to want to reduce things to the most minimum standard that there is. And I will tell you, God has always been holy. He is holy, and He will always be holy. And so when people point a finger of accusation against God because they aren't getting what they want, they point the finger of blame at Him, but the blame doesn't lie there. In Revelation, they are cursing God even as they refuse to repent for their ungodly ways. So teach my people the difference between the holy and the unholy. So let me talk to you first of all about the holy. The holy is something that is set apart by God through God's people to God's holy purpose at God's time, at God's place. And that impacts the way that we think. It impacts the way that we conduct our lives. It impacts the way that we treat people, because he's holy. It takes no special skills to point out a person's faults, but it takes a divine encounter with God to realize that we're all sinners. We've all blown it. The problem isn't a God problem. It's a man problem. And so if you find that which is perfect, you need to do your best to learn what a holy lifestyle looks like. Right now there's, you know, all sorts of attacks on church doctrine and church teachings and wanting to make the church's messages sound more in alignment with the failing standards of morality that our society has to offer. And rather than coming into line with the world's message, we need to be standing boldly and proclaiming holiness. I'm not talking about a list of do's and don'ts, because you can have a list of do's and don'ts and have just the ugliest heart you could have ever imagined. But I'm talking about somebody who has had an encounter with the Holy One and has set themselves on the course of being holy just as God is holy. The difference is unholy. So my dad, he was a construction worker, and many times the area we were in didn't have a lot of construction going on at the time, and so he would have to travel out of the area. One of the places that he went, he was working on a semiconductor plant, the construction of a semiconductor plant. And, you know, now those chips would be dinosaurs and they would be super slow. And, you know, they've probably had to upgrade a bunch of times since he did that. He's been retired for over a couple of decades now. But in order to have a chip that functioned the way it was designed to function, it had to be produced in a pretty significantly contaminant-free atmosphere. And so there was all sorts of things that they had to go through. I know a person who joined a motorcycle club and was reading about that, and they described the extreme scrutiny, and I don't know anything about the motorcycle club. They described the extreme scrutiny that people went to in order to be able to belong to this motorcycle club. And when I read that, I was like, so they have no problems having a standard if you want to be a part of that club, but the church is trying to compel the church, that's the better way to say that, to compromise the truth of God's word so that everybody will feel comfortable. Well, let me tell you, when God refines us, it's a pretty uncomfortable process that increases our worth and causes us to reflect his nature well. So I don't really go to church to get a pat on the head, get a pat on the back, or anything like that. I go to church to hear from God, and I don't know how everybody else hears from God, but a lot of times I hear this. You need to lay that down at the altar. You need to surrender that to me. You need to make room for me, the Holy One, so that you can be more holy. And so profane or unholy, it's a word that means common. And so if you do with that the difference between holy and unholy, you would see that the people of God are not to be looking just like everything else in the world. We are supposed to be above common. We're supposed to be reflecting a better way of life. And it goes on here. And so you can see profaneness in the way that people live. You can see profaneness in the way that people speak. You can see profaneness in the way that they spend their time, in the way that they look at commitment. You can see profaneness everywhere. Where you should not see profaneness is in the house of God. There, we should take our relationship with God and representing Him, we should take that role very seriously. Out of all of Israel, this is a commandment that's given to a small group of people who said, we're going to stand faithful and holy to God when all society around us is doing exactly the opposite. The lesson continues, and it says, cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. There's an interesting word there, and that is the word discern. It doesn't mean that you create people who can recount something and reiterate something. You know, it's kind of like the way many of us studied for our tests, where we had, you know, the information, we kept it in our learning file just long enough to pass the test, and then we got rid of it. This is not so much information. This is a skill set. This is a gift of the Holy Spirit, where if you are positioned in an environment in which you are not familiar, that you can automatically begin to process whether you are in a clean environment, a holy environment, or whether you're in an unclean, unholy, profane environment. And so that gets to where you are taught not necessarily what to think, but you are taught how to think. So how, as a person, do you teach holiness and cleanness? How do you teach that to people? Well, first of all, you teach it from experience, from your personal experience. And so I never one time had my mother come up to me when I was a kid and I had something on my face where she said, you know what, you've got something on your face, I'm going to put something on my face too there. Now, don't you feel better? She came up to me knowing that I was unaware that there was something on my face, and she proceeded to clean it right there in front of everybody, because she's like, you shouldn't have that on your face. There was a time when I was working on changing out the clutch plate of a 1967 GMC pickup truck, and I'd never done that. Didn't even know what a clutch plate was. Oh, you can do it. And so they threw me under the truck and they just told me what to do. And, I came out of there filthy. I mean, I had grease all over my body. And, I was going to go get cleaned up. This was in the middle part of the country in October, and it was very cold. And my mother looked at me and said, "You're not coming into my house like that. You've got to go get that all cleaned up with the garden hose." That was one of the coldest processes I ever went through. But my mother knew that all of that grease that was on me wasn't coming into her house. And it wasn't a fancy house. It was just her house. I pray when you go to church that you realize that we should prepare ourselves. God, would you forgive anything that needs to be forgiven? Because we want to come to church today. We want to stand in your presence. We want to minister to you, and we want to become like you. God, would you make us holy? I tell people that there are two prayers that are extremely dangerous prayers. One of them is, "Lord, give me patience." Because if you pray that, God's going to take you as serious, and patience is a fruit of the Spirit. So you've got to abide in Him. You've got to allow the Holy Spirit to function. And then you're probably going to find yourself in a situation where you would naturally lose patience, but supernaturally, you would exhibit the patience of God. So, if you pray, "God, give me patience," expect to find yourself in a difficult circumstance where God can let you know whether you got it or not. The second prayer is this, and it's a very important prayer. Excuse me. I believe that everybody should pray this prayer, and that is this: "Lord, make me holy." And when you do that, God will go to work. I will tell you, you and I, we should be holy for God. We should be holy because of the benefits that it brings to our life. We should be holy for our spouse. We should be holy for our family. We should be holy for the church. We need to do all of those things to represent Jesus' will, but we also need to be holy, people of holiness. Just like the sons of Zadok, we need to be people of holiness, people who know God, who are going to stand for God, stand with God, and become like God. We need to be ministering to Him, and whenever we minister to Him, He's going to equip us and anoint us so that we can go out and display the holiness of God in a profane society. God, may you help us to know the difference between the holy and the unholy, the holy and the profane, the clean and the unclean. God, may we be holy even as you are holy. You have a blessed day. We will see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."